CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
John Wooden said, "Don't let what you cannot do interfere with what you can do." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who can do. Our first playmaker began working in commercial real estate over 30 years ago, while our next playmaker studied at Oxford and Cambridge universities. With us today is the president of a company that was founded on building strong relationships, while our next director concentrates on mergers and acquisitions and capital raising transactions. These great playmakers are Eric Volkerson. Eric is president of Crest Commercial Real Estate, and Barrett Kingsrider. Barrett is founder and senior managing director of Pinecrest Capital Partners, and we're going to begin the show with Barrett. As senior managing director of Pinecrest Capital Partners, Barrett Kingsrider concentrates on merger and acquisition advising, capital raising transactions, and advising companies on strategic and growth initiatives. Pinecrest Capital Partners is a premier investment banking firm based in Dallas that offers exclusive advisory services to middle market companies with values typically ranging from $25 to $500 million. By focusing on high-touch advisory and one-stop solutions, Pinecrest works to position clients with the goal of maximizing transaction outcomes and realizing the full value of their companies. Barrett has focused on advising on business strategy, private placements for companies in a variety of industries and stages of development, and corporate formation. His extensive expertise in successfully managing complex transactions crosses a broad spectrum of industries, including energy, healthcare, industrials, technology, manufacturing, aerospace, financial services, technology, and construction. Well, Barrett, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate being on the show.
Well, you've attended SMU, Oxford, and Cambridge, which I mentioned. You were studying poli-sci and international law. That almost sounds like an education for a political career. Was that what you were aiming for at the time?
I've always had an interest in politics, Steve, and it's something that I would consider certainly later on in my life. I think an ideal politician is not a career politician. It's one who has had enough success to be able to pursue those interests and is educated to that point. So one day, hopefully, the opportunity may present itself.
Well, did you know while you were doing that you were going to go into the financial services industry? Because you've come a long way in a short period of time. Was that in the back of your mind as you started?
It was an option, and I had strong proclivities there. But I think my focus at the time was really just in sharpening my mind. I didn't know necessarily what I was going to get into professionally.
Well, for a lot of people that don't know what you do, explain what it's all about. Explain how you work with companies, how you raise money, and what you do.
Sure. Investment banking at its core is really a finance role in industry. We advise companies on how to raise capital and how to go through a sale process. Or on the buy side, how to go through an acquisition of another company or of assets. But it's much more than finance. It's behavioral in nature. It's emotional. It's psychological. With private companies, which is where we focus and specialize, we work with founders and family owners. Sometimes the business is 5 years old. Sometimes it's 75 years old. And in those scenarios, the business is often almost a member of that CEO and that owner's family. Comes home with them at the end of the day. It's talked about at the dinner table. And so it's in a very emotional process when they go through a sale transaction. And so it's certainly finance at its core, but we help people through life transitions in their businesses.
I would think it's almost like getting rid of a child. I mean, you're so attached to it for those who have had the business for a long time, especially if it's been in the family.
That's true.
It sounds like very difficult. You've only been doing this, you started your company, correct me if I'm wrong, July of 2014?
Correct.
Did you work with other companies of similar ilk before you did this?
I have. I've been doing investment banking in the Dallas community for approximately a decade.
This is also a very competitive industry, isn't it? Especially in this day and age, especially here in Dallas.
Especially here in Dallas, it is.
So what sets you apart? Why should someone do business with Pinecrest Capital Partners and Barrett?
One of the reasons why we formed Pinecrest is to be able to focus exclusively on family and founder-owned private companies. And I think there's a number of very good investment banks that are out there, one of the things that really sets us apart is our caretaking of our clients. And I think that if people were to speak with our clients, and we often encourage them to do so before they end up hiring us, what they will hear is not only were we successful in bringing a very good financial transaction to the table, but we managed the process well to the point that they knew what their lives were going to look like after the deal was done. And that we custom tailored a process to really match their transaction goals and desires.
Apparently, there's a lot of due diligence that goes into any client you're working with. As a matter of fact, I did some research and I found a quotation from a fellow I think you did some business with. He said, "The Pinecrest team took the time to understand our motivations and goals for an investor, guided every step of the transaction process, and delivered the best possible outcome." My guess is that's what you're looking for from every single client you work with.
That's exactly what we're looking for. I mean, these processes are 6 to 12 months in duration on average. And at the end, you know, not only are you close with a client, but it's a huge hurdle to overcome getting a deal closed. And so the best satisfaction is them looking back on it and thinking favorably on the process and being happy with the outcome.
I would think as a investment banker, investment advisor, that you almost become embedded into the client's company, because you have to know every single thing about that if you're helping them either gain capital or even sell the company.
That's true. Oftentimes we do become embedded in the company, and it's almost a preference of ours in certain circumstances. We're an industry generalist, and so we're much more experts on the process of taking a company through a sale or recapitalization process than we are in any given industry. And so we want to become intimately knowledgeable of the business's operations, not just so that we can advise them well and represent them well in a process, but also so that we can add value from an operational standpoint as we do go through the process.
Well, you've obviously developed a style, a culture for your company. Has anything or anyone been a big influence on your life in terms of how you have developed and run your company?
I think over time I've had very fortunate, actually, to have a number of influencers at various stages in my life. I would say one in particular is a local individual named Dr. Jim Dennison. He was a former pastor at Park City's Baptist Church, and he runs a nonprofit foundation now called Dennison Forum. And in my time with Jim, I really admired how he manages the culture of his organization and how intentional it is. And that was something that we really strive for when we founded Pinecrest. Is for our employees, it's a reflection of how we work with our clients. And so we wanted to have an environment that really fostered creativity, hard work, good communication, and honesty and integrity in everything that we do. And so that's what we strive for.
Well, as you mentioned that you're a generalist in terms of the type of companies you're working with. If you were to identify the ideal client, what would that client be?
We focus on size and certainly to a degree industry. There's some industries that we don't spend much time in. But from a size standpoint, these clients are doing generically 25 to 500 million or so in revenues. Valuation is typically driven by earnings. And so we use revenue as a simple proxy for determining size. But we do focus on healthcare principally. Certainly energy, manufacturing, distribution, business services, technology, software companies, areas where the business can be comfortably and easily explained to financial buyers as well as to strategic buyers.
Well, if I'm going to sell my house, I know who to go to. I can find a realtor to do that. But a double question here, how do companies find you, A, and B, how do you find most of your business?
It's a good question, one that we talk about a fair amount as we consider what our appropriate marketing strategy should be for the firm. But fortunate to say, currently all of our clients and most of our clients historically have just simply come from referrals from other clients, either existing or previous, who have had good experiences with our team. We often get referrals from other transaction-related professionals, so lawyers, accountants, wealth managers, anybody who is an existing trusted advisor to a business owner. It's uncommon, or actually I'm not sure if it's ever happened, that someone would just Google search Pinecrest Capital or Dallas Investment Bankers and come up with our name and lob in an inbound phone call. And so we try and get introduced through existing trusted advisors that way.
I would think that the most trusted people for many individuals and companies would be their professionals, which are their CPA, their attorney, somebody like that that can move them in that direction. So I can see how you want to befriend them and get referrals that way.
Absolutely, especially ones that we've had the opportunity to work with before. And so it becomes a good cycle. If you have a good experience working with another professional, you know, it's important for us, for our clients, to put together a solid team around them. That's their investment banking advisors and us. It's their accounting advisors and firm. It's their lawyers, their tax advisors. And so, you know, we have a cadre of individuals that we typically work with or we see routinely from deal to deal.
Well, you've been in business less than 2 years. Where do you go from here with the success you've had? How much higher can you go? How much larger can you get?
I think that the market for M&A activity is naturally very strong right now. It has been for some time, and there's plenty of room left in this market. And so I think for, you know, the next 2, 3, 4 years, it's going to be a great time for business owners of private companies to think about going through a sale process. Part of our business that is growing as well is advising companies that are preparing to go through a transaction at some point in time in the future. So our traditional investment banking focus is really walking somebody directly into a sale process and taking them through that process. An updated focus of our advisory is really that preparation process where transaction is 3 to 5 years out, and we are advising CEOs on how to manage and grow their business with that transaction in mind. So I think a lot of our growth is going to come in from that area of our business.
Tell everybody, should they want to get in touch with you or your company, how they can find you on the web.
Our website is pinecrestcap.com, and we can be contacted through our website or through our main phone number.
As an entrepreneur, and you've, again, been doing this a short period of time, you've had a tremendous education to get you to where you are. What advice would you give entrepreneurs that would want to start a business, not necessarily like investment capital or investment banking, but what advice would you give entrepreneurs?
Best advice I can give them is where we see the vast majority of our clients be successful, and that's passion. You have to be all in when you decide to start a business and be an entrepreneur. This is something that you eat, sleep, and breathe. And that's what helps your business become successful. It's important to be able to reach a critical mass as quickly as you can that a business becomes sustainable almost on its own. And so that's what we advise. If you're going to go out and start something, you got to be all in.
Absolutely. Well, Barrett, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it.
Barrett Kingsrider is the founder and senior managing director of Pinecrest Capital Partners, and the website again is pinecrestcap.com. Don't go away. We're in store for commercial real estate. When we come back, we're going to speak to Eric Fulkerson, who is president of Crest Commercial Real Estate. Back with Eric right after this.
Jersey Mike's has teamed up with Wipe Out Kids Cancer for the 7th annual Month of Giving to raise money and awareness for pediatric cancer research. During the month of March, all DFW area Jersey Mike's restaurants will collect donations on behalf of Wipe Out Kids Cancer. But on Wednesday, March 30, Jersey Mike's will donate 100% of sales to WOKC. Please mark your calendars for the Day of Giving on March 30th and spread the word. Please help us make a difference for children with cancer, one sub at a time.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. This segment, we're going to speak with Eric Fulkerson. Eric is president of Crest Commercial Real Estate. He began working in the commercial real estate industry in 1983, focusing on income property sales of all types. He had previously worked for prominent Dallas commercial firms and won awards for top production in leasing. Eric had discovered his passion for retail properties. He gained valuable experience overcoming obstacles, having not only survived but also grown his business during the market crashes of 1985, 1994, and 2008. He founded Crest Commercial Real Estate 21 years ago on the principles of being fiercely devoted and creating enhanced value for his clients. Crest Commercial's business is founded on strong relationships providing property management, project leasing, tenant representation, and income property sales. Well, Eric, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. I'm so glad I could be here today.
Glad you're here, too. Well, how does a native Dallasite who graduated with a BS in business administration and management get into commercial real estate?
Well, while I was at Trinity University down in San Antonio, I was actually graduating with a bachelor's in science in business, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And people said, well, if you really aren't sure, maybe you ought to go into banking. And I thought, banking, huh? And they said, yeah, if you go into banking, people will get to know you well. You'll get to see lots of different businesses in an in-depth way. And someone will pick you up, see your qualities, and you'll be off up the corporate ladder.
You get all that exposure.
I thought that would be great. It seemed exciting to me. So I thought, well, I'm going to do that. So I interviewed with all the big banks in Texas at the time, and college graduates at that time were making about $18,000 a year. And the first bank that offered me $22,400, I said, I'm in. And it was very exciting. I thought, I'm going to get to loan money to important people and to my friends. This is going to be great. So I go into the officer training program and find out that it was really an analyst position. But the good news, which was not really suitable to my personality, but the great news was that they let you spend a tour of duty in each of the various lending departments. And so I spent a month in oil and gas, and I spent a month in national accounts, and then I spent a month in real estate. And anyway, I saw the size of the deals and the kind of deals and how creative they were and how I loved how they were creating and building something. And that really attracted me. And I said, that's really the industry I want to be in.
Well, how did you get into the commercial side of it and income property sales? Was that something you decided to do or just explored all the different options for real estate?
My mother was a great influencer. I said to her, you know, I'm interested in going into real estate. And she said, why would you want to go into other people's homes and look in their closets? That's just terrible. And I thought, you have really, that's not what I was thinking of, Mom. So, no, I always wanted to be on the business side. I love helping people create new businesses and advise people on how to create wealth.
Well, let's talk about that specifically because I mentioned 2008, one of the dips we had in the economy, the last one we had. Why should business owners not be afraid of starting or expanding their business right now in this economy?
Well, I would say any business person, especially a startup, should always be concerned about starting in any economy. But that being said, they shouldn't let that be a deterrent. For several reasons. One is there's always ways to manage around whatever the current circumstances might be. That's one thing. Second thing is right now in Texas, we have a great economy. We have a great political and regulatory environment in Texas as compared to the rest of the nation. And so it's a great time. I mean, we have something, I think I heard 30,000 people a month moving into North Texas. That is incredible opportunity. And so don't be afraid, but be wary. And so I would advise that people first and foremost start with a business plan. I've helped hundreds and hundreds of new entrepreneurs start businesses, and you can tell almost right off the bat, the ones that have a business plan, the chances of them surviving are so much greater, it's not even funny. And that little bit of extra effort it takes to plan something out sets them apart from all of those who just said, hey, Martha, you know, all those widgets we've been making out in the garage, you know, let's try and take those to market now. Yeah, if you don't have a business plan, you're really asking for trouble.
If you fail to plan, you'll plan to fail. Going back to the first part of your answer, I would think with the largest auto manufacturer in the world moving their North American headquarters to Dallas has certainly had an impact on commercial real estate.
Absolutely, and it's very exciting. I mean, you go up to Frisco and we're seeing rental rates in retail up there that I never imagined we'd hit. I mean, there's properties leasing at $40 and $50 a square foot. It's astounding.
Well, that is almost the center of the universe now, especially since Jerry's World is opening up right there too at 121 and the tollway. So what is the outlook with all of that? What's the outlook for the future of investment property? Should somebody want to get into that arena?
Well, I think it's a great time, but you need to first decide, you know, what is your risk level? What is your risk criteria? What are you willing to live with? And you got to be careful about that. Once you decide that, for instance, for myself, I get really excited about properties that are value add. If you have low risk tolerance, it might be better for you to be involved in a single tenant, you know, building that doesn't require much management. You don't have to know a lot about real estate or how to manage a property. But if you're looking for a lot of upside, you have to figure out how you're going to add value to an existing property or one that you might develop or build. And that's what I love about it. You get rewarded in commercial real estate for your vision and for your ability to add value to other people.
I would think the worst thing is buy a piece of property, do nothing with it. Don't add value to it. It'll go down. But you had a mentor of yours, Zig Ziglar, said, help enough other people reach their dreams and magically all your dreams will come true almost effortlessly. Is that something you believe in?
Absolutely. That is, as that indicates, I find that the more people that I help, the more that comes back to me. And this year, more than ever, our company in property management has grown 50% just since the beginning of the year.
Would that be the largest area that you're working in right now?
That's the largest area of current growth. It moves around. You know, that's one of the things that's great about being in commercial real estate. I love being able to shift my focus from leasing to sales to property management.
There's so many different things you can do. Going along with that, you also mentioned that a significant portion of your business has come from your competitors paying it forward. How do you get business from the competition?
You know, a lot of it is being in the business a long time. 32 years, it'll be 33 years in April that I've been in commercial real estate. And I've built strong relationships, and people know they can trust me. And so that has been exciting. In fact, when I left my last company that I was working for before starting my own company, my very first client came from my former boss, who referred a client to me. So that was particularly gratifying, and I like to think that I'm paying that forward to other people too, and I love mentoring young people in our industry.
One thing about commercial real estate, because there are so many different directions you can go, there's a lot of niche companies. If they don't handle that business, they want to forward to somebody else, and you've done both. I'm sure you've given business and you've gotten business as you're paying forward.
Absolutely, and I do think it is an area that to be successful, at least in a market as big as Dallas-Fort Worth, you really have to specialize. And if you try to be involved and put yourself out as an expert in an area of commercial real estate that you're not familiar with, you're really asking for trouble. So I always advise my agents to refer business to other agents, that especially if it's in an area that you're not an expert in.
Well, let's say I want to do some investing. I want to get into commercial real estate. What should I look for? What should I do, not knowing much about commercial real estate?
Well, of course, I'm really partial, Steve, to retail. I think shopping centers are the most intricate and the most involved. I love a challenge, and that's one of the reasons I love retail. Office is great. Industrial is wonderful. Land sales, all of those things. Development are great, but I particularly love taking a problem property and turning it around.
A strip center.
Yes, a strip center. In fact, just year before last, we took a property that some owners had, and they had a. I was intrigued by it because it was owned tenancy in common, which is a little unusual form of ownership in this area. And so I took it just to educate myself on it. But the property was in trouble. It was referred to me by another client who just couldn't take it because, you know, it wasn't in their field. And he knew I could do something with it. The property was 40,000 square feet and only 20% leased. And it was circling the drain before foreclosure. And I interviewed with the landlord to see if he was going to be the kind of guy that could do the things that were necessary to turn it around. And he said he was on board with my plan. And we executed the plan, and within a year, we had the property up to 75% leased. We were able to then – his loan was coming up, so we were able to get an extension on his loan for him. And just as all that came together, I thought, you know, we were about to hit the opportunity for him to begin to see the cash flow results of that, when he decided, you know, rather than doing a long-term loan, I want to just sell. And so we created an opportunity for him to really not only not be foreclosed upon, but he was able to really maximize his wealth. He sold it, and we ended up selling it to another client of mine who then took it, got it even more leased, put some – he had some money available to invest in the property, to improve the property, and now he's reaping the benefit of even more income. So it's especially exciting to do stuff like that.
What's interesting about that is you were really creating something that existed before and building on it. You talk about value added, and you've done that not only for one client, but for a second client and beyond.
Well, and where the ripple effect starts to take effect is because of that, we were able to help lots of very small businesses get their first location because we were, you know, it was a value proposition. This was a property that was in trouble. So the first thing we did was we had to recognize that we were not going to be that choosy at this stage. That stage will come later, but at this stage, we were not going to be that choosy about who we let in. We wanted to be an incubator location for new business.
Well, tell everybody how they can find out about you on the web.
You just go to crestcommercial.com.
And as I'm looking at it right now, you can find everything you want to know about Crest Commercial Real Estate. Well, Eric, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you, Steve.
We've had a great show. We just talked to Eric Fulkerson. Eric is president of Crest Commercial Real Estate. And Barrett Kingsrider. Barrett is founder and senior managing director of Pinecrest Capital Partners. Thank you very much for joining us on Playmakers Talk Show. You can get all of our replays and past episodes on PlaymakersTalkShow.com. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And we'll be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.